Like, we'll stop him for a week anyway. Galatians chapter 3:15. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereunto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, but as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Praise the Lord for that. What a wonderful truth that is. First of all, if you're following along, we're going to talk about the clarification of the promise. And here we have the speaking. And verse 1, if you look at verse 1, what would we call verse 1 in today's lingo? A covenant of men. We'd call it like the last will and testament. I made the last will and testament. I was thinking today, I was going to bring a scroll of Darius's, our cat's, last will and testament. I was going to do something, but I didn't have time to do all the things. But he doesn't have any right to make a last will and testament. But there we go. A paraphrase of this verse, if you want to follow along as I read this 15, to speak in terms of human relations, brethren, if even a man makes a last will and testament, a merely human covenant, no one sets it aside or makes it void or adds to it when once it is drawn up and ratified. Or, let me give you an everyday illustration, my brothers. Once a contract has been properly drawn up and signed, it is honored by both parties and can neither be disregarded nor modified by a third party. It's if you sign up for a particular satellite in your yard and you sign this contract, there's a part of that contract says if you cancel early, they're going to charge you $20 every single month you cancel early. And so if you want to cancel early, well, I remember my mom left, so it was like $380 if you want to cancel. And so we just wrote it out and kept paying going on from there. But that was a contract. We couldn't change it. I had agreed. They had agreed. So it couldn't be changed. You can imagine now, if God makes a contract, it's set in granite, if you would, if he makes a covenant with people. So it's an everyday illustration. It is binding. This contract is. It cannot be canceled or modified by someone else. That is the principle behind the contract. Even when it changes or made the contract, it has to be with the consent of both parties involved. It's a binding commitment. Now, in Bible times, if you want to turn over to Genesis 15, they had a very unusual way to ratify a covenant. Genesis chapter 15, please. 9 and 10. It is called, actually, the walk of death. Genesis chapter 15, verse 9 and 10. 15, 9 and 10. Abraham and God. And he said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took them, and all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against the other. With the birds divided he not. 17. And it came to pass that when the sun went down, and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. So if Mr. Womack and I wanted to make a covenant, we would go out there and get these animals, and we'd cut them up, divide them in half, and then we'd walk between them. It's a very, very, very strong covenant. For if either of us broke our covenant binding thing, we were to become like the animals that had been divided. I mean, that was how serious it was. It really gave God almost permission, really, to take their life. Well, if either party broke the covenant, God would take their life, even as they had done to the sacrificial animal. So it was a very, very strong covenant. I think we get better grasp when you make a covenant in marriage. You're making a covenant that is to be binding, period. Interesting, George Barna in the book, The Second Coming of the Church, said this, studies have conducted over the past year indicate that a majority of the people who made a first-time decision for Christ were no longer connected to a Christian church within just 8 weeks of having made such a decision. In the same section, it says this, they say in most cases, these people were not moving from decision to conversion, end of quote. Can you imagine that? It's a commitment to Christ. It's not some easy believism. And we in our churches, even in the fundamental independent Baptist churches over the past decades, have been, and sometimes, with an easy believism. Just sign up and sign a card and do this, and when there's not been any growth seen at all. And so that's this covenant. When you say, yes, I'm going to be your friend, you are willing to sacrifice for them, and you're going to be their friend, period. And if you break that promise, then you can become like the animals that have been divided. Now, how many major covenants do you... Can you even name them for me? Major covenants in the Bible.
Identic. Okay, here we go. We'll start with Edenic. And Adamic.
Noahic.
Okay. There's one between that. Abrahamic. I like that word. Abrahamic. Can rest on that one. Palestinian. And then there is Davidic. Very good. And the last one is one we should be most important to us.
New.
Very good. Eight covenants. Some are conditional. Some are unconditional. And we then have, and we have two large, a framework. So let's call this framework, this pen, say, shun, all, ism. The other would be, covenant, the,
lo, g.
These are simply two words that give a framework of how people see the history of the world.
You would.
Dispensationalists divides it into seven dispensations, period, where people had they were supposed to do something to obey God, they disobeyed, and God started another one. You'd have like innocence, you have conscience, government, human government. Then we have law, what's Abraham? Government, Abraham. It's promise. It's a promise. And then we have the law, and then we have the grace. And then we have tribulation, and then we have the kingdom. So, seven different dispensations. That's how, if you're a dispensationalist, two majority things, you believe in a literal interpretation of God's word. That's what it says. I'm a dispensationalist. And also, we believe that Israel is not the church. Israel is a separate entity. The church is a separate entity. Now, we know there are Jewish people in the church today who understand that. But Israel has a time coming in the millennium, I believe, if I'm a dispensationalist, that Israel is going to have a great part. And God's going to give them all these promises. And all of the promises Christ has literally fulfilled. And so if you're a dispensationalist, you are a literalist through and through. You believe the 1,000 years of Revelation 20 is actually 1,000 years. And so you are a dispensationalist. Covenant theology. Now please don't think because someone differs in their framework of viewing the Bible that they're something they're not. We're on the same page. We believe the same principles. It's just how they view. There are three basic covenants for covenantal theology. There is CR, the covenant of redemption. God in eternity past said that he is going to, son's going to come and they're going to go by saved. We call them the elect. Like he's in scripture, so the ones that are going to be saved. God knows they're going to be saved. We have the option. So, he then gives them the covenant of works. Adam and Eve are in the garden. What you have to do is you have to obey. Don't eat the fruit of the tree. Adam disobeys, and so they blow it.
So blew it.
So then that just have to take the covenant of grace. God graciously provides, starting in Genesis 3:15, the seed to come. The seed of the Lord is going to come, and the Messiah. So the covenant of grace, then all these covenants would fall under their covenant of grace. Because the covenant of works, they didn't work out right. Christ comes and he fulfills all. Jesus fulfills all the covenants. He's the answer in verse 16. Christ is the seed that would come. That is a brief.
People have spent their lives trying to differentiate, explanate, etc. Some covenant of theologians, people believe in paedo-baptism as it is a contrast with the circumcision of Old Testament time. I'm telling dispensationalism. Covenant theology, and there is a new covenant theology, we're not getting into that, but that's the two basic frameworks now of how they view the Bible.
But they both have the same end of Christ comes, Redeemer comes, offers himself. And salvation is by grace through faith alone. God has always said salvation has always been by faith and not of works. Both would teach the same thing. It's just how they view a covenant. We have two major covenants in our Bible. They're called the Old and New Covenants. Testaments, right? So that's the difference between those two. That's just a very quick, I told my wife I was going 2 minutes. I think I went longer than 2 minutes. But that's a basic of the two differences there. So when a covenant is introduced and our mind's thinking, so if you have Noah, Abrahamic promise, 430 years later comes the Mosaic Law, but this hasn't been fulfilled yet. So the Mosaic Law cannot supersede what God has already promised, made the promise to Abraham, because it's not fulfilled yet. So it doesn't cancel that. So the Mosaic Law does not replace the promise given to Abraham. Let's go right on. We find the word there confirmed in verse 15 back over to our text in Genesis chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Woohoo! Galatians chapter 3, verse 15. Galatians 3:15. We find there's the word confirmed there. 3:15 for us. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, ratified. It means to use as a legal action, meaning to confirm, to validate. And disannulleth there, no man disannulleth or added thereunto. Disannulleth means do not, or to do away with what has already been laid down. They don't do that. This is my brother, just in the last 2 weeks, was the executor of my mom's last will and testament. And so he followed those specifically. The POA ends, I'm sure when someone passes, the POA is done. Then the executor takes over, which he is both of those. And so he has to then to, but he doesn't say, okay, moms, we don't count that anymore. We're just going to void all that. No, you can't do that because it was made by through a legal means. And that's what he's saying here. Disannul. You can't disannul the promise to Abraham by the Mosaic Law. Dr. Gamaki, who's spoken at Berean different times, Robert Gamaki said this in his commentary. Within the courts of law, a covenant agreed to and signed by both parties cannot be changed later by the will of only one participant. The sealed word of both men is binding upon both parties. These men must respect the legal requirements of such a contract, a man's covenant. Quite often, a person may orally agree to a contract, shake hands on it, and later back out. But once the contract has been ratified, confirmed in writing, with both signatures affixed, it becomes obligatory to both people to maintain their respective part of the bargain. If you're buying a car, if you're buying a house, if you're buying cable TV, if you're buying a cell phone, you sign on there, I will pay this much money in the next 2 years. You agree to that? And if you don't do that, well, you're going to pay a high price for it if you don't do that, because you sign it, they sign it, etc. At no time in the future, then, can one party unilaterally, by themselves, impose upon the covenant some new restriction. He can't not disannul the contract. He cannot render it null and void. He cannot get out from under the obligation simply because he wants to. Although he cannot add anything, any new restriction to the responsibilities of the other party, what was written originally must stand. If contracts could be broken that easily, then the worlds of business and politics would be full of chaos, end of quote. Excellent explanation. You just can't end that. The promise cannot be made null and void by someone else. The doctrine of the Judaizers looked at first glance to appear harmless. But what they did, they were adding works to grace. No, sir. You can't do it. You can't modify the promise God has made to Abraham. If man makes covenant promises and keeps them, how much more will God be faithful to his covenant with Abraham? For God's promises are immutable, unchanging. So that was the speaking, first of all, the clarification of promises. Secondly, we see is the seed in the beginning of 16. Now to Abraham and to his seed where the promise is made, he saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Look at the verse as I read a paraphrase. Now the promises, the covenants agreements, were decreed and made to Abraham and his seed, his offspring and heir. He, God, does not say unto seeds, descendants, heirs, as if referring to many persons, but, and to your seed, your descendant, your heir, obviously referring to the one individual who is none other than Christ the Messiah. If he said to the seeds, then perhaps that Abraham's seeds have all come through, all his children born, and it's done. No. It's the promise goes all the way to Christ, and Christ fulfilled that promise. And so even one plural or one singular word, so important. That's why God preserved His word. It's at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. When you come and think of the morality of our age, it talks about in 6, 9, and 10, these ungodly characteristics. And it says in verse 11, and such, past tense, were. That's so vitally important. It doesn't say, such are you. In other words, all those things mentioned, which really talks about the immoral lifestyle with one man and one man, etc. It's wrong, because those words, that's what you were. But now you're washed. Now you're changed. And so here we have the seed, singular. So the Abrahamic covenant was unconditional, which means God said, Abraham, I'm going to do this for you. And he does it. Abraham doesn't have to keep the law. Abraham doesn't have to do that. He had one, he had faith. By faith, it was reckoned to him as righteous. Abraham wasn't 430 years before the law walking along. Oh, I kept that part of the law. Oh, that's number 534. Got it. 612. Got that one. Number 322. Got that one. He wasn't doing that. He was saved by his faith, reckoned to him, not because he kept the law. Genesis chapter 12, please. If you want to hold your finger in Galatians, go back over Genesis 12, 1, 2, and 3. Look at this just for a moment, what God promises to Abraham in this unconditional covenant promise. Now the Lord, 12, 1 of Genesis, said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Just those three verses, chapter 17, chapter 15, what promises God made. And you can't, through even the law, disannul or void the promises God made to Abraham. A great nation will be blessed of nations. Those that curse him will be cursed by God. Those that bless him will be blessed by God. That's why I say, that still carries on today. We're one of the very few nations that really is Israel positive. Are there any other nations, maybe perhaps some of you are more up in the news, are there any other nations that are more positive than we are to Israel? I think we're the only... We're the big nation, aren't we, that really keeps Israel from getting trounced and all those things? I think we are. And I'm glad for that. I'm not saying Israel's perfect. But I'm telling you, when the Bible still, this is still from the Bible, and it still carries on, I believe. We need to be supportive of Israel. Not, again, condoning all they're doing, but we want to stay on their side. We really, really do. The promise then that Abraham received from God were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Now, if the promises were meant for Abraham and to his many descendants alone, to all his seeds, then it might appear that the promises were already been fulfilled and that the law had come in a new phase of God's deal with the people. Do you see how important this is? Abraham was saved by promise. We can't bring in the Mosaic law. Oh, Abraham's all done there, all promises fulfilled. So now... you've got to obey the law for salvation. No, Abraham still carries on. You can't disannul something promised to Abraham by another one. Because you can't do it unilaterally. But one person. God promised. God could do anything he wants, but God has promised. And it's carrying on. And Christ fulfills that. So the Mosaic law, even 430 years later, Judaizers, you cannot. You can't. You might try to preach it and teach it, but it's wrong. This is the era of grace, if you would, if you're dispensationalist, is an era of when a time of God has been gracious to us and the church is growing and building, etc. You cannot tie back into the Mosaic law. So we find this word seed. It is what is called a collective noun, like the word sheep, perhaps. Or we might say the word jury. It could be more, it might be one, but more than one. Or the word audience or furniture. The furniture could be what piece of furniture, one, or the furniture in my house is old and falling apart, or it could be more than one. So we have here the seed. But Paul specifically here says to Abraham, seed, just so the Holy Spirit says, listen, no, it is the Holy Spirit says it's just one. It's not a group. It is just the one, the Christ. So that was the speaking. Then there is the scripture. Last part of that verse, it says there, back over into our text. If you want to wander back with me to Galatians chapter 3 this time. Galatians chapter 3 verse 16. The last part of that verse says, and to seed as many, but as to one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Spurgeon says, he hath not said from the, quoting from the Old Testament, we may believe in the absolute plenary inspiration of that sacred book because the apostle founds an argument upon the singular of a noun, the word zera, having been used rather than the plural. Notice how important a single letter is in scriptures may be. A vital doctrine may depend upon the use of a singular or plural noun. Therefore, let us jealously, he says, guard the smallest jot or tittle of the inspired word of God. Every word. God gave it to us that we might learn, and it's perfect for us to learn and study by. We says the fact that promises were made to Abraham and all believers, all down through the ages who follow Abraham is an act of faith. In the case, the faith way of salvation existed before the law was given. We have this Abraham trusting God by faith long before, and the other people trusting the Messiah would come by faith long before the law is ever given. And so the law can't be about salvation. The way of salvation has been given. The Christ is going to be coming. The Messiah is coming. Trust by faith the Messiah is coming. That's how you're saved. Now, later on, they need to have some clear clarification of what to do. The law comes in to show them how far they were from God in their actions. But it had nothing really to do with salvation. It's the schoolmaster, the board of education. This is what you're not doing, what you should be doing. But back over here, we already know how to be saved through promise, through faith Abraham had. That's the way of salvation, as was always then, is now, always will be, till Christ comes. It's the way of salvation. It's through faith. That's the clarification of the promise. And then there's the confirmation of the promise. We'll just get started in verse 17. And this I say, the covenant that was confirmed before God in Christ, the law, which is 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. Now, do you happen to remember how old Abraham was when he left Haran? 75. And then how many years from Abraham's departure from Haran to the children departed to Egypt? And we find it right here for us, 430 years. So he's 75 years old, departs from Haran. His departure from Haran was 430 years before the children of Israel departed from Egypt. Different calculation regarding sojourning, etc. The law was given hundreds of years after the Abrahamic covenant, could not annul or weaken in any way this original contract. The law cannot. So Judaizer, you're saying that Abraham obeyed the law and that's become part of salvation? No. Circumcision was never part of salvation. It was a sign for the covenant people. So this mistruth, no, sorry, this lie, this erroneous teaching, Paul is still combating. Because remember, chapter 1, verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed. Who hath, chapter 3, verse 1, who hath bewitched you? Chapter 3, verse 3, O foolish Galatians. I think bewitched there twice. Or foolish Galatians again. The Judaizers were trying to attempt to add the Mosaic law. Paul says no. The promise was given. And they say that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, make of no effect. That should make the promise of no effect. You can't do it. The promise God made to Abraham stands yet today. And we'll stop right there, and it's a little bit early.